Good morning. My name is Nathan Lyons, and I will be reading scripture this morning. My family has been attending First Covenant for over a year, and please take a moment in your Bible to turn to this morning's scripture reading. We will be reading from Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can read along on the screens. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. This is the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God.
Amen, amen. Our God is great. Oh, great and awesome God, we just give you all of our praise. We give you all of our hearts. We give you our minds and our souls this day. As we are about to receive from your word, we just pray that you open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to be able to receive what it is that you would have for us today. Words of encouragement, words of challenge, words of depth, and words of insight into who you are and how you have created us and how we can be your people called by your name. We ask, O God, that you bless this time and continue your blessing as we now receive your word. We pray this all in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I invite you to take your seats. I don't know, the Lord may have opened up some floodgates on Wednesday night as I had a chance to be at the citywide revival hosted by the Rockford Ministers Fellowship. And it was very different. Well, it kind of was a homecoming for me because I became a Christian, as many of you know, in an African-American church. And on the night that I was speaking, thank you to all of those who came out First Covenant. It was the strongest showing of Caucasians out of the three nights there. So we helped integrate the citywide revival. But, you know, it was the first time I had ever had a chance to preach to predominantly African-American assembly. And so that's what I mean by, you know, I don't know if the Lord has opened up something, some floodgates there. But they were a lot of talking back to me. And I found out I really like that. And so don't be afraid. That's right. I had a lot of help preaching that night. It wasn't me. It's the Spirit of the Lord and the great Spirit among the congregation. So, well, as we start off, let us remind ourselves of one of many truths. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Well, if you do have your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to the book of Exodus. What a wonderful reading. Thank you, Nate, for that. And what a blessed morning already, as I shared before the offering, but as it's continued with celebrating the Singing Brothers and their anniversary this morning, 112 years of that, right? Amen. And 142 years of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This year is our 142-year anniversary for our church. And so we're going to hear the gospel this morning again. If you have your Immerse Bible with you, can you believe that this is on page 149 already, right? If you finished your reading for this week, the last two paragraphs on page 149, or chapter 40 in verse X, in the book of Exodus, starting at verse 34, as you already heard this morning. So here we are at the end of the book of Exodus. So you've got two books under your belt already. The first five books of the Bible, also known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. You've got two out of three under your belt if you're doing the immerse reading. So pat yourself on the back a little bit. Good job, you made it through. That's wonderful. There's 4 weeks, right? This is the end of our fourth week, I believe. Four more weeks to go, and you're going to finish off the rest of these books with Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I want to encourage you as you enter in this week, look on our Facebook page, the group page. If you are not on our internal group page, look up First Covenant Church on Facebook, if you have a Facebook account, and request to join the group, because we are posting really great links to help you get started on the week's readings. Immerse, the people who put out the Immerse books, they have some helpful like overview videos. And then we've also are utilizing another resource called the Bible Project with some great overview material there as well. Especially as we head into Leviticus, I believe God is greater than our intimidation of the laws found in the book of Leviticus. So I'm going to believe that you are going to be an extra measure of blessing on you this week as you read through Leviticus. But it may feel at times like you're reading through like a legal code. All right. It may feel at times like you. Oh, there we are. I'm sorry. We got it. I feel very loud all of a sudden. Good. Amen. Just the cloud of the glory of the Lord just amplifying my voice. All right. All right. So as we go into Leviticus, I do want to encourage you. It may feel like that at times because it is a lot of list of like things that you've experienced in Exodus, except it's a whole book worth of instructions by the Lord. But if you made it through Exodus and all the instructions about the tabernacle, then hey, you're ready to go for Leviticus, all right? And just thinking of that with Exodus, if you're a detail-oriented person, and some of us are and some of us are not, but for those of you who are detail-oriented people, those of you who follow a recipe, okay, like a baking recipe by the book. I mean, you don't make any deviations from that. You don't try to get creative a little bit along the way. You don't add some kind of goofy little spice, you know. If it doesn't call for something, you're not putting it in there, right? If you're a person who is a quilter or a sewer, okay, if you can follow a pattern to sew, then this is the book for you, right? The last half of Exodus and going into Leviticus, this is designed just for you. If you have ever built a house, all of those folks here, we know who you are, the Habitat guys and gals here. If you are that kind of person, you love blueprints. You could like read blueprints and you'd fall asleep with blueprints. You know, like that's like your snuggle buddy at night, okay? Then this is the book for you because you have these amazing instructions and details about how to build the tabernacle. This movable tent that God wanted for his house, all right, his place to dwell among his people. He also gives instructions about all the furnishings for the tabernacle. All of the things that are in the court, inside the tabernacle. And there's a lot of details. This is for you sewers out there. The vestments or the garments for the priest, right? Lots of details in this book about those things. And I don't know, maybe I'm a weird person like those of you out there who are weird. You don't deviate from recipes. You love following those patterns of, you know, how to sew. Or maybe you're a model. Like you love to build models and you love to look at the instructions and see how it all fits together. Okay? Or you love blueprints. this book has all these details because when you have a recipe, when you have a sewing pattern, when you have blueprints, it's so important that you follow those things the way that the instructions are given. If you do something out of order, like in a baking recipe, and my wife does not follow recipes. She is not the baker in our house. She is the artist who makes like delicious, you know, stovetop meals, right? She does not bake because her bread will never rise because she does not know how to follow a recipe. She refuses, not does not know how, she refuses to follow a recipe. Pray for her. No, each of us has our gifts. Each of us, pray for me, that's right. That's what you meant. Now, I'm the baker. She does all the other creative things. I'm not creative. She does the creative things. So we have a good partnership. But if you're following the pattern, right? If you're a sewer and you're trying to follow that pattern, if you go out of step, out of, you know, the process, you're going to end up with, you know, the neck where the armhole should be, okay? Right, the sleeve is going to be in the wrong place. You're not going to do things the right way. Or like if you're building a house or some other kind of building. If you don't follow the directions and don't go by the measurements, all of a sudden you're going to be building two walls and they're not going to come together right. And your house is not going to stand up right and it's going to be a mess. So there are times when it's very important to give detailed instructions and to not deviate from those instructions because it is a benefit for the outcome of the product that is being made, okay? So that's one layer of why the details are important. You want to make it right. You want it to be successful. You want to have a good outcome with the product that you are building or making. That's layer one. It is not the only layer, though, when you're talking about the tabernacle. And when you're talking about the furnishings of the tabernacle. And when you're talking about the vestments and the garments of the priest. There's something very, very important for why God wants all these details to be the way that they are. And it has to do with what we heard in these last verses of of the Exodus book. As a reminder, we'll go back to verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. This is the tent as part of the whole tabernacle setup, the whole campus there of the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord filled the whole area, filled the tabernacle. And Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now that's a very key statement that that Moses could not enter the tent of meetings. Now if you were reading through, you're going to remember a key story that occurred between the giving of the instructions and then the verbatim repetition of the instructions in the summary of actually building the tabernacle and all of the furnishings and the priestly garments. You read verbatim, almost verbatim, the same instructions, the giving and the creating. But in the middle, there is a pretty significant story, a pretty big failure that occurs among the Hebrew people. Have you ever heard about the golden calf? The golden calf occurs in the middle of the giving of the instructions and the building and creating of these things. For those of you who don't know that much about the golden calf, this is a moment where Moses has gone up to the mountaintop, Mount Sinai, okay? He's received instructions from God. He's up there receiving the Ten Commandments and all these kinds of things, okay? The people, before Moses went up the mountain to commune with God, the people had made a promise to God that they were going to follow his commandments. All right? So last week we saw appear displayed the carnage, the wreckage of the sacrificial stuffed animals. All right? If you were here last week, you were part of understanding a bit about the promise that God made to Abraham, that God, represented by the smoking pot going through in between the animals that were on one side of the path and on the other side of the path, God walking through that path, saying to Abraham, I am making a promise, a pinky swear, a covenant with you that is unlike any God who's ever made a promise or covenant with a human before. And that promise, that covenant I make to you is that the what I say I will accomplish, and if I don't accomplish what I have promised, then may it happen to me as to these animals. God takes on that responsibility. He does not ask Abraham to take on any responsibility for the covenant, for the promise. All right? God is the one who's going to accomplish it. He's going to keep his end of the bargain. And if he doesn't, which he's never going to fail, but he says, if I do ever, may it happen to me as to these animals. I'm putting my life on the line, God says, essentially. Okay? I make this kind of promise to you. Now, Abraham did not have to do anything to accept or receive the promise from God. All he had to do was believe and receive it like a gift, like a child at Christmas or on a birthday, right? Now, 430 years later, the children of Israel have been set free from Egypt. They are at Mount Sinai. God has fulfilled his promise to Abraham by bringing his people out of slavery. And now it is time for the people to make a promise to God. It's the other side, 430 years later, but it's the other side of the coin. The people at the foot of Mount Sinai, they sacrifice animals. And Moses dips, I don't know what he dips in there, I can't remember, a branch, thank you. He dips a branch in the blood, okay? And he sprinkles the blood on the altar, and the people say, Lord God Almighty, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whatever you tell us to do, whatever you command us to do, we will follow your commandments. And then Moses even sprinkles the blood on them. I know it's kind of ghoulish. I know it's kind of grim to think of this, but this is how things were practiced. And again, they make this promise as the blood is being sprinkled on them. God, whatever you ask us to do, we will do it. So that's the promise made at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses goes up the mountain and he's gone for 40 days. And the people get kind of jittery, nervous, impatient, and in many ways, understandably so. They've been taken from everything that they know, even though it wasn't a great life. They were slaves. But it's what they knew. They were taken from that with several miracles, 10 of the plagues, and then the miracle of crossing the Red Sea. They'd seen the hand of God at work, but all of a sudden, that God who was very present with them is now up at this mountain, very distant from them, and the spokesperson that God elected, that God put in place, Moses, the person who is the conduit between God and the people, who's the spokesperson, who you might want to say has the red phone or the bat phone to God, right? He's the link, and he's gone for 40 days. Now, if any of you have ever raised children, and if you've gone outside to work in the garden, and your kids are playing around inside, and all of a sudden they want mom or dad, and they're looking around the house for mom and dad, and they can't find mom and dad in the house, and they're going kind of frantic, right? Now, have you ever proven to them that you're not reliable? Have you ever left them to their own destruction before? And just picked up and decided to leave and go on a long trip and never come back? No, you've been gone for like 20 minutes outside in your own yard. And your kids come outside and they're like, Mommy, Daddy, where are you? Right? And you say, I'm over here. And they're like, where did you go? Why did you leave me? I thought you were dead. Well, the Israelites, right, they are kind of like the children in our lives. But here, Moses has been gone for 40 days. They don't know if he's still alive up there. I mean, there's fire and smoke coming off of this mountain. He could have been consumed up there. He could have died for all they know. Where has he been? And so they turn to the second spokesperson, right? The vice spokesperson, Aaron. Hey, you're related to Moses. You were the one who was elected, even though you didn't ask to be elected, to be our other spokesperson. So will you help us figure out how we can reconnect with this God? And the only way that we know how to connect with the gods is what we learned in Egypt. They're idols that are that conduit. They are the link between a God and humanity. And so one says, yeah, I don't know where Moses went, and I'm not sure if he's ever coming back. So let's see if we can find another way to reconnect with this God and see if we're still on good terms with him. And so they make the golden calf. Now, we know God gave them the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. He said, do not make any idols. Do not worship any other gods. But they're learning this for the first time. And in a moment of weakness, of anxiety, of fear, they give into their old nature and they make a very terrible mistake. They have the golden calf episode. And this, you know, breaks the heart of God. Breaks Moses' heart. God wants to just like get rid of the people. And Moses pleads to God, no, God, don't get rid of them yet. You just started, you know? Like, have you ever thought about giving your kids back? Don't you ever wish there are times? Have you ever threatened to give your kids back, to send them back? Bill Cosby used to say, I brought you into this world and I'll take you out, right? But Moses says, no, God, don't let up. Don't give up on these people. I'm disappointed too. I know you're disappointed. But let's give them another shot. It's kind of an echo back to Abraham who pleaded for the people of Sodom and said, God, if there are only just a handful of righteous people, would you spare the whole city? And God was willing to spare the city, though they couldn't find enough righteous people. But here, the people, Moses intercedes on behalf of the people, and God says, okay, let's keep going with the plan. My original plan to bring them to the promised land. He says, but I got to know that they're going to be serious. I got to know that they're going to follow my instructions, how I've put it and laid it out. I want to know that they're going to be faithful and they're going to follow the details step by step by step. And that's why you have verbatim all the exact information in the construction of the tabernacle, the furnishings, and the vestments, the garments for the priests. And you get at this moment here where the glory of the Lord is at the temple, there's not temple, the tabernacle. But it says Moses could not yet go in. Moses could not yet enter the tabernacle, even though the glory of the Lord was there, even though the presence of the Lord was there, even though it filled the whole tabernacle place. And it's kind of odd that the book ends on this note, that Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle and the tent of meetings. He had met with God, he'd been up on the mountain. He had met with God at other times throughout the book. But at this moment, this is a cliffhanger for what comes next in Leviticus. Leviticus is going to be a book that describes all the other things that the people of God need to know about how they are to relate to the only, the one, the true God, to please Him and to be in right relationship with Him, and how to be in right relationship with one another. And at the end of Leviticus, it will tell us that Moses went in to the tent of meeting. I'm just prepping you for Leviticus in many ways here, that it is this life-giving set of instructions and commandments. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, and I will say it many, many more times, that the law was not a load of to-dos and not-to-dos to be restrictive or to set the people up for failure, that they could not accomplish and uphold all of these laws. That was not the reason why God gave those laws to them, just to see them fail so that He would need to bring Jesus sometime later. Okay? These laws are the life-giving connections between how the people of God can relate to the Almighty, Holy God. And it is God's perfect plan with these people. I want to say it again. It is God's perfect plan. Do we not believe all Scripture is God-breathed? Do we not believe that it is all pure and perfect, the perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct? If it is the Word of God, then it was God's perfect plan for the Israelites to receive these life-giving instructions on how to connect with Him and how to connect with one another. How do you treat your neighbor rightly? How do you get along with people? When disagreements happen, or when accidents happen, or when people break the instructions, or when people hurt other people, or when people break trust with one another, how do you repair that relationship? How do you work beyond the hurt and the pain and the distrust and the breaking of trust? These life-giving instructions are the ways in which God gave His people 3,000 years ago, in order to rebuild that. And what happens when you step out of line with God, or if you make a mistake, or you break trust with God? Well, He's built in here these life-giving instructions to repair that. And so instead of always being on the periphery, because the people of God are going to have to show that they will follow His laws and decrees, they're not allowed to enter into the tabernacle until after the law code is given, the book of Leviticus. Not until Jesus comes. I know that's a big statement, but the people of God could experience the presence of God, the glory of God. Back then, we have access it now through Jesus, and God's presence is with us here and now, today, and forever. But that's the story arc here that we're going through in the Pentateuch, in the first five books, in the Torah, is that God wants to be in right relationship with His people. He wants to be present with them. He wants to give them life-giving joy and His blessings. And He's going to do it, as we will read in the book of Leviticus. We see God's mercy to allow the people to not be destroyed, to not bring judgment upon them even though they deserved it after the golden calf. This is God's mercy that we see here. And then in the book of Leviticus, when you read through Leviticus, think of God's grace being poured out. Every law that you read, every moment of a festival that you read, every detail of every sacrifice, think of the grace of God being poured out into those people's lives. That they were communing with God by following His instructions and His commands. And that they were being in right relationship with their neighbor. It is Leviticus 19 that gives us the greatest of the commandments when Jesus answered that question. What is the greatest commandment, O teacher? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't come up with that, friends. That was from God back in Leviticus. And so as you continue to read, may you continue to find touch points of where we see the life of Jesus, okay, and how Jesus fulfills these things, but also that God was working with His people to give them mercy and grace through these moments of them stumbling along the way to figure out how to be His people. Amen. Don't we all stumble along the way as we try to live as His people, as His children, the children of the Heavenly Father. In His bosom we gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. With that, let us give thanks to God for His word as we close our time of this service to receive and continue to receive from Him His mercy and His grace. Our great God, we give You thanks for who You are. That You are the Almighty, the Creator of all things. That You are the one who is all-powerful. That You are the only God, holy and righteous and true. And that we see Your mercy and we see Your grace at work over and over and over again. Help us to receive Your grace and Your mercy each and every day. As the book of Lamentations reminds us that Your mercies are new every morning. May we give You our lives to love You with all that we are. To love our neighbor as ourselves. We thank You for being our great shepherd and amazing God, and that we are Your children. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.